There was a place in John chapter 5, God talks about a pool called Bethesda. At this pool of Bethesda, one time a year, the Bible says that God would trouble the waters. An angel would come down and the waters would begin to ripple and be troubled. And the Bible says that whoever was there first and got into the water first, whatever infirmity they had, they would be healed. There was a man that was there for 38 years. Imagine that. Imagine being by that pool for 38 years. And Jesus said, "You've been here long enough." He said, "How come you're not healed?" The man said, "Sir, every time I come, I don't have somebody here to help me get in. And just before I can get in, somebody steps in before me." Jesus looked at him and said, "Well, I'm here. Take your bed up and walk." The man stood up and grabbed his bed and walked, and later we find out he started running and leaping and jumping and praising God. There's a part of this story, though, that we pass by. The miracle is wonderful. But I want you to look at verse number 3. My heart's broke today. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. I want you to notice that there was a great multitude there, but only one went away healed. That means there's far more people with infirmity than those that get healed. Only one out of a multitude every year got healed. But the rest of that multitude went home with the same problem. Over 400 times in the Bible it says, "And it came to pass." Many hard times, trials, problems, difficulties, etc., come. But they come to pass. Most don't stay forever. Most problems in life come and pass. You'll get through them eventually. But I want you to notice something in the story. For the multitude at the Pool of Bethesda, it didn't come to pass. For most, it came and stayed. For one out of the multitude, it passed. But for everybody else, it stayed. Most went home back with the same problem that they came with. And it wasn't going to be fixed. May I say this? Many wish they could go through a hard time. But for them, it's not going to pass. They've got to live with it. They'll not have it pass till they get to heaven. Many more people will go home with the same burden and heartache or problem that they came with than go away with it being gone. They envy you that can go home and eventually get through your problem. They wish their problem would eventually be over, but this side of heaven, they don't have that hope. They'll never get through their problem. Deb and I were sitting on the airplane Tuesday, a week ago, ready to fly to Minneapolis. And I got word, Brother Dick, that your brother-in-law had passed away that late in the evening before. While the stewardesses were up doing their little pre-flight speech about your seat backs being upright and all that stuff, I picked up my phone and I called Nancy. I said, "Nancy, I'm getting ready to push back on the airplane and fly. I've got just a few minutes, but I heard that Galen went to heaven last night. I said, I just want you to know this preacher loves you, but heaven is real. And we talked and cried for a few moments. We were literally taxiing to the end of the runway when I hung up. The stewardess is looking at me like, I thought, just back off, chick. I got somebody who's got a heartache more important than your stupid speech. My heart broke. While I was gone every day, I either counseled a pastor with a problem, a church person who had a heartache or a grief. For some, it was life-threatening. Not one day goes by without a heartache. Sit in my office and take the phone calls. Spend a week with me and listen to the news that I hear. Cancer, lupus, Parkinson's, heart disease, blindness, loss of hearing, divorce, bone surgery, death, either of a spouse or a child or a loved one. Long care term for somebody that's not going to get well. They're going to die in long care term. Special needs children that will eventually need care that parents can't give. You should thank God if you can go through a problem. You ought to thank God if you can go through a hard time, because there's some, they're not going to get through it. Some have a problem that comes and stays. I want to help you. I do. You may not need this sermon today, but you will need this sermon. I've lived long enough and enough life to know there are some things that come in life that come to stay. Not everything comes to pass. Some things come to stay. Please listen. I want to help you. What do you do when things come to stay? Number one, you're going to get mad at me at first, but if you listen to the preaching, it will help you. Number one, you need to give up hope. Now hang on. You say, preacher, you telling me to give up hope? Yes. Sometimes you have to accept what's there. Sometimes you just have to accept it's not going to change. You have to make peace with the situation that it's just going to be this way. That loved one that passed away isn't going to get up out of the grave. If you visit them, it'll be at a graveside. That's not going to change. No matter how bad you hope it would be different, it won't be. So you must make peace with the fact that it's not going to change. I'll give you hope as long as it's available, but when hope isn't going to change anything, we're going to deal with reality. This preacher loves you. I hope you know that. But this preacher is not going to lie to you. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear to make you feel good. Sometimes you got to feel the pain before you can deal with it. And I'm sorry. Think I enjoyed the day my mama died? It came to stay. But it didn't lie to my dad saying, Dad, it's going to be okay and she's going to get well. Well, she did get well, just not here. She's weller than she's ever been. Pardon the grammar, but it was good stuff. My mama's doing fine. We're the ones left with the mess. I'll give you hope as long as it's available, but there comes a point in time where we have to accept what's coming. That loved one who passed is not coming back. By the way, they're not a spirit and a ghost that you're going to feel their presence and see their presence when they're gone. Okay, that's bad pizza before you go to bed. We have several families in our church. You have special needs children. That's never going to change. I'm sorry. It doesn't mean their life is second class, second rate, or that they're worthless in life. But it's always nagging at the back of your brain, what's going to happen if something happens to me? I understand that. I know of at least 4 or 5 families in our church that deal with that very thought every day of their life. Can I tell you something? We have to face the fact, we'll help them and improve them the best we can. But it doesn't mean that it's ever going to change totally. By the way, I believe they can do more than anybody else does. I believe there's things that they can do none of us can do. They get more than you know they get. Trust me, some of them are pretty ornery. Especially Gus. He knows how to get candy, bubbles, and food, amen? We were on vacation and Scarlett had her birthday and Joe sent me a video. Gus loves stealing the show and blowing the candles out right at the end of happy birthday before anybody else gets to. He sent me this video and just before they get to the end, he goes, and the candles went out and I hear Scarlett say, Gus! I love it, I love it, I love it. And you hear Gus going, I love it. Can I tell you something? It won't change the fact that he won't be like everybody else. That disease may never leave your body. That Parkinson's is not going to leave. That cancer will not leave. Those bone issues, unless they can take them out and replace the ends of them, aren't going to leave. Whatever it is, it's there and it's going to stay. That heartache, the disappointment of an adult child, the bad news, it's not going to go away. Sometimes we have to give up hope that it's going to change and deal with it. I know people that live in this false world. Well, I just believe so much that it's going to change. You're setting yourself up for a lot of destruction. I believe there's more good that can come out of it. Yes, I do. But it doesn't mean it's going to change. We don't lose hope in God. We don't lose hope in our salvation. We don't lose hope in the truths of the Word of God. And by the way, if God does allow healing to come, that is the miracle. But don't live for the miracle. Realize the multitude walked away. There comes a time where you must accept the fact that reality is there. And the sooner you accept it, the sooner you'll begin to heal. Did you hear that? The sooner you accept it, the sooner you'll heal. There are some things that come, we must accept that they're not going to get better. I've dealt with this too many times in the last few weeks. That spouse who left you and forsook you, they're not going to come back. I'm sorry. We need to move forward for your sake. Heal. So, what do we do when it comes to stay, preacher? Sometimes you have to accept that it's going to be there to stay. Just accept it. I wish you knew how much my heart hurts. Last August, Brother Fred passed away. And a month later, my daughter and son-in-law, who just got married in June, Mindy's mother-in-law, Michael's mom, 52 years old, died. If you remember, I went and spent a week down there, and I preached her funeral. I preached Wednesday night and all day Sunday in their church, trying to help them. But can I tell you what? It didn't bring Sarah back. It hadn't changed. We have our little spats as husbands and wives over some of the silliest of things. I know there's a pastor sitting in Georgia right now preaching. I wished he could go home and spat with his wife, but never will. Before you open your mouth and say something you shouldn't, maybe you ought to say, at least I still have them. Sure. Number two. Number one, we should give up hope. Number two, we ought to give up bitterness. Amen. Can I tell you something? Quit blaming God. Amen. Why is it, and I have a sermon I'll preach in coming weeks about this, why is it that we want to blame God for the consequences of sin? We are the ones that sin, not God. Right. Why is it God's fault? Quit blaming everybody else. Amen. Well, it was the doctor's fault. It was this fault. It was that fault. Good night. We live in a world that wants to blame everybody for everybody else's problems. Well, it's the if the 2% would pay their fair share, we wouldn't be in such a bad shape. Well, did you ever see a poor person hire anybody? Let's get off our high horses here. Let's quit blaming everybody for every problem, and let's just look at it square in the face. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. There's consequences to sin. One of those is bad situations and bad health. God made you to live forever. He didn't make you to be sick, and he didn't make you to die. If you're sick, if you die, it's a result of sin, not because God did it. Well, they just died too soon. Who made you God? Matter of fact, God's not in control of that always.
That's right.
I'll preach on that one of these days. Can I tell you something? God didn't sin, you did. And because we're all sinners, the wages of sin is death. At what point in time is it okay for somebody to die then? If God's at fault, at what magical time and age is it okay and you wouldn't be mad and bitter at God over it? I've experienced enough life to know this. Everybody wants one more day with their loved one. Everybody. God's goodness has not changed in spite of your bad circumstances. God's goodness is not based on how it affects you. God is goodness.
Amen.
Your situation doesn't mean God's not good.
Right.
When you can't see God's goodness, you can trust his goodness.
Amen.
That's what faith is.
Yes, sir.
Quit blaming God because you have a bad situation because of sin. How about we accept the fact that God is good?
Amen.
And God is good all the time, even when it's not good for me.
That's right. Amen. That's right.
But the Josh and Ruth Ann, they've lost several children. They went through their fostering classes and adoption classes. You know, they struggle praying at times for God to give them a child through this. Can I tell you why? Because it means somebody else has to go through a pretty bad time. By the way, that's big league Christianity right there. How'd you like, we want a child so bad. Yeah, do you want it so bad you want somebody else to have a tragic situation take place? Now think about that before you pray too hard. The That takes some big league Christianity to understand that. God's goodness hasn't changed in spite of your situation. God's goodness hasn't changed in spite of your health. God's goodness has not changed because something didn't go your way. Spoiled little brat. Well, I'm going to take my toys and go home. God's not fair. I'd be careful if I were you. I remember doing that once. Say, what happened? He's sitting back there. I got jap slapped up one side of the head and down the other side before I knew what hit me. And you say, why'd you only do it once? Because I wasn't sure when that hand was coming back again. My wife knows this name, and I think Mrs. Lopez is in junior church. She might know it. When we were in Indiana, there was a man named Oscar Marino and his dear wife. They were new parents, young couple, had a baby, 4 or 5 months old, and mom got up in the morning and went in to feed and change the child, and she went in and the child was gone. Blue. SIDS. No explanation. I remember standing at Babyland, taking part in the funeral with a casket that was just not that long. Looked like a little igloo cooler. They had a second child. Child got to be about 6, 7 months old, and Oscar's wife was helping her mom have a garage sale. She put the baby down on mom's bed and locked the baby in with some pillows. The baby had rolled off the edge of the bed and got stuck between the dresser and the bed. Hung like this. Mom went in to check on the baby and it was hanging itself. Of course, they called 911 and rushed the baby to the hospital. And then they flew the baby from Northwest Indiana to the University of Chicago Hospital in Chicago. I remember getting the call. Deb and I went to the hospital. We walked into the pediatric intensive care unit at the University of Chicago Hospital. There's a mama with a baby in a blanket, rocking her baby. And the nurse said, Pastor, the baby's been gone for about an hour. I remember talking to them and praying for them. Look at me. Remember the nurse saying, Pastor, we've given them about as much time as we can. We really need to get the child away from mom. I remember walking over and having to tell Oscar and his wife to tell that precious body, we'll see you later. And I reach into her arms and take that body and put it into the arms of a nurse. How'd you like to do that? I remember showing up to the funeral home. There's Oscar and his wife greeting everybody, smiling, encouraging everybody. And I'll never forget the words that Oscar's wife said to Deb and I. She said, Brother Bush, God must really like my babies because he gets to rear two of them. It was a young lady that wasn't bitter. Tragic, yes. But she never got bitter. How about we quit looking at what others have or what we hoped we had? Amen. Too many of you are looking at what you think you should have had or what you wish you had and blaming God that you don't have it. Amen. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. I tell you something, sometimes our hope has to be deferred But can I tell you something? When we get to heaven, it's going to be out of this world.
Amen.
I may not get everything I thought I should get. I may not have everything I want in this life, but when I get to heaven, come on, it's out of this world.
Amen.
Little Johnny Ryan was my buddy. He was in South Carolina. Johnny Ryan was a very afflicted, special needs young man. He never said two words his whole life. He made noise. But Johnny sat in a wheelchair, a special wheelchair, and he was very afflicted, and at times, this is not a common word anymore, but I don't think it's a bad word, but he would have these almost spastic type spells. But he loved brown paper bags. That was his thing. I kept Johnny supplied in brown paper bags. Johnny was my buddy. He'd hear my voice. He and I, we spoke each other's language real well. I got the call one evening. Johnny's in the hospital and had surgery and not going to make it. Brother Bush, would you get to the hospital? I was in North Charleston. I went all the way down to the lakefront or the oceanfront dead at Roper Hospital in Charleston. Pauline and her husband were sitting outside in the waiting room. Pauline said, Brother Bush, I love Johnny so much. I don't think I can watch him die. But we don't want him to be alone. She said, I don't even know how to ask. I said, I'll go. She said, you'll stay with him? I said, I'll stay with him. I went in. They had done surgery and cut him open, and he was in such bad shape they didn't even close him up. His nose was bleeding, his eyes were bleeding, his ears were bleeding. Any place a human body could bleed, he was bleeding. They kind of ballooned his chest back together just to hold it together. And I walked in and the blood pressure was about 44 over 20 something. He's got tubes running everywhere. They got blood pumping in as fast as it pumps out. I walked in and I stroked Johnny's hair. And I leaned down and I said, Johnny, it's Brother Bush. And I said, Johnny, in just a little while, you're going to take a trip. It's not going to take you long to get there. You're going to a place called heaven.
Amen.
I said, and Johnny, when you get there, first thing you're going to do is run. You've never taken a step here, but you're going to run. You're going to jump, and you're going to talk like nobody's business. And about that time, the nurse said, Preacher, what you doing? Preacher, what you doing? I said, what do you mean? She said, look, look. I said, what? She said, look. His blood pressure was about 100 over 60, and his pulse rate tripled. He was getting excited. We started talking about heaven. I said, Johnny, man, there was doctors and nurses running in. I said, Johnny, how about you and I tell these doctors and nurses about going to heaven? I stood there and preached over Johnny's body to seven people, and three nurses and a doctor got saved. Johnny's heart rate was going... His blood pressure was as good as mine for a while, let me tell you. I said, okay, Johnny. It's time for you to go to heaven. I said, Johnny, let's not just tell them, but let's show them how somebody goes to heaven. Those doctors and nurses watched those machines start to taper down. And in about 10 minutes, Johnny took his last breath here and went to heaven. I didn't tell Pauline and Dennis about what happened in there. I knew I was going to have part in Johnny's funeral. The day of his funeral, I stood and told that story about a little afflicted boy that never said a word, never said the word mama. But she cared for almost 14 years that way. Whew. You know, Pauline was never bitter. We walked away from the cemetery and she looked at me. She said, "Brother Bush, I was honored to have Johnny all those years. Now God's going to finish what I couldn't do." Whew. We don't live in a world with the expectation that your plan is going to work out the way you planned. Life does not work out the way you planned. If you're over the age of 25, every plan you had has gone. It doesn't work the way you thought it was going to work. Trust me. Those famous words in West Virginia. Watch this, y'all. Sometimes doesn't work out the way you thought it was going to work. Accept what comes and make the best of what you can. Isn't that what Romans 8:28 is all about? And we know that all things work together for good.
Amen.
God didn't say everything is good. He said he would work good out of everything that comes.
Amen.
Do you know that little Johnny Ryan died and went to heaven that day, but four people got saved?
Right.
I'd say God worked it out for good, wouldn't you? You may not understand it, but God can take what happens in life and turn it into something good.
Amen.
He didn't say it would turn out for your good, but he said there would be good that comes out of it. So, we ought to give up hope sometimes. We ought to give up being bitter with God. And number three, give up being in despair or depression.
Amen.
Give up being in despair and depression. I did not say give up and quit. I didn't say run and hide from your problem.
Amen.
But we ought to do what we can do with what we do have. Decide you're not going to get depressed over what you can't have. Decide you're not going to get depressed over what did not work out quite the way you thought it would. There's still more to do as long as you're sucking air. If God still has you sucking air, God has a purpose for you to do something good. My little old grandma at 99 years old would tell me, "Craig, I don't know why I'm still here." I said, "I do, because I need you to pray for me." At 99 and a half, she went to heaven. I lost my greatest prayer warrior, other than my mama. Last December 16th, my mama went to heaven, and I stood to preach, and I said, "God, it's not fair. It's the first time I'll preach," and my mama hadn't prayed for me. And God said, "What do you mean she's not praying for you? She's looking at me square in the face telling me, I really need to help you." I realized both of them are standing there saying, "God, you got to help him. We know him too well. You got to help him." Can I tell you something? You may not do what you first thought you could do, but there's still something you can do.
Amen.
Don't despair. But if you do despair, go on in despair. There was a sign that hung in Brother Hyle's office, right by his desk. It said, "Do not despair, but if you do despair, go on in despair." Don't sit there and have a pity party. Don't sit there and suck your thumb and turn the lights out and stay in bed for 6 weeks. Get up and do something with what you do have left.
Amen.
Letting despair take over is exactly what the devil wants. Can I tell you something? I hate the devil so much that I refuse to let him have even my depression. You think I'm going to let the devil win with despair and depression in my life? Nope. I hate the old devil so much I'm going to smile while I hurt. I've got one more get up than he's got knocked down in my life. He thought he was going to injure me and wound me and knock me down when my mama went to heaven. But can I tell you something? I came up swinging. We had people saved that week. We had lives changed. We've had people saved every week since. Can I tell you something? He didn't win. Nah, 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 nah. Say, how do you do that, preacher? I decided I would give up on despair. I'd keep going, doing what God said I could do.
Amen.
Letting despair win means you have been conquered. Well, I don't know about you, but I cut the words "I quit" out of every dictionary I have. You ought to have grown up in his house. You didn't say the word "can't." Mm-mm. My dad has a saying, I can't repeat it, but not because it's bad, it's just so long. He said, I paused at the wrong spot there. Y'all hurt me. I wish you'd listen to the good things so much. He talks about being able to do the impossible with nothing, with this, that, and the other thing. But you never looked at my dad and say, I can't do that. That meant you just had to try more. I don't know how many times I've heard my dad say, it's not that you can't, you just got to try harder. You got to try something different. There's no such thing as can't. Oh, my soul, I don't know how many times I heard that in my life. Probably about 3 million because I said it about that many times. Can I tell you something? Maybe that's why I don't quit very well. Maybe that's why I just don't give up. I don't always feel like going on. But I'm not going to quit. You can overcome despair by successfully doing what you can do. You may not do all you wanted to do, but there are things you can do. Then do them. Miss Wally isn't well enough to always go soul winning, but guess who puts all those tracks in bundles? My mom and Brother Fred couldn't go soul winning, but her and Wally and Dad and Mom, they bundled up tracks for a long time. They were helping to get the gospel out at their level. Didn't stop them from doing something. How about you? Boy, there's so much I want to say right there, but I got to go on. Number four. Are you ready? You ought to give up hope. You ought to give up bitterness. You ought to give up despair. Number four, this is my favorite point. How about you take time and thank God for everything that comes into your life that's good that came to stay?
Amen.
Have you been saved?
Yep.
Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Did you know that that means you could never lose it? It came to stay. Do you know once you get saved, it came to stay and there's nothing you can do to get rid of it?
Right.
Did you know that if you get saved, heaven is going to be your home someday?
That's right.
Guess what? It's going to be there to stay. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. One day we are going to be there with Jesus, living with him in heaven. Hey, that's coming to stay. Did you know that if you got saved, that the Holy Spirit moved inside you, it indwells you? Did you know that to every person who has ever been saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you? You have a guide, you have a comforter, you have a leader with the word of God to help you in your life. Hey, that came to stay.
Amen.
Did you know if you got saved, your sins are forgiven? Past, present, and future. Bless God, Brother Mike. You and I both don't have to face our sins. I'm really glad. How about you? Some of you have done some things in your life you wish you wouldn't have done. Guess what? God says, what sins are you talking about?
Amen.
You'll never be judged for them. You'll face the consequences here, but you're not going to be judged for them ever in heaven. Did you know God gave us his word? It's eternal and it's here to stay.
Amen.
By the way, the King James Bible.
Amen.
Not the NIV KEYMOUSE version. Not the Rainbow Sodomite version.
Amen.
Not the Mickey Mouse version.
Right.
Not the RSV, the ASV, the NASV, or the HIV for the sodomites. Can I tell you something? God gave us His word for the English-speaking people in the King James Bible.
Amen.
It's not a good translation. It's the only one for the English-speaking people.
Right.
It wasn't inspired in the originals alone. They are still inspired.
Amen.
They are inspired and preserved. You took your first breath when you were born. Guess what? God breathed into man the breath of life. He doesn't have to keep breathing into you for you to have life. Guess what? God spoke the word that takes breath, and He spoke it into His words. It's living. It's breathing. It's as applicable today as the day He gave it to man on earth.
Amen.
These aren't God's thoughts put into man's words. These are God's words. Well, Paul says here, Paul didn't say anything. God spoke those words to Paul. They're not Peter's words. They're not Elijah's words. We read in 1 Kings 17 last Wednesday night. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying.
Amen.
Little Twinkie preacherettes that get up and say, well, these are the Pauline epistles, and it has Paul's flavoring, so... Oh, gag. Why don't you quit your job and get a real one? They sound real suave and debonair. You say, what's that mean? Nothing. They want to impress you with their intelligence. They just showed you how stupid they are. They're kind of like Balaam. They're talking to a donkey, and I'm not sure which one's the donkey. When a donkey's got more sense than a preacher, God says you got problems. I can tell you something, God's words are here to stay. Ever eternal. May I say this? God's love is here to stay.
Amen.
I don't know a greater truth in all the world than God loves me. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world. Did you know God loves people that hate Him? How about you quit hating people? How about you love like God loves? May I say this? Your church is here to stay. Grace Baptist Church is here to stay. We ain't shutting her down for nothing. Pandemic, flu, vomit on the floor, doesn't matter. We stayed open. There was a couple of weeks we had church, and Brother Josh preached from the doorway while everybody's out in the parking lot, because we were trying to keep everybody as healthy as we could as it hit this area a little bit, but we didn't shut her down. Say why? God didn't say have church as long as you feel good. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Tragic thing is, amazing how many churches aren't reopening.
Right.
And how many people we taught that they don't need church, they can watch it online.
Yeah.
How about we just take time when things have come bad to stay, that we take time to look to God and thank Him for the good things that have come to stay.
Amen.
I'll finish. For many, your burden has come, but it'll go. For some, that burden is here to stay. It's not going to pass. You'll be like the multitude that left the pool of Bethesda. Someone stepped in before you. They get the blessing you wanted. You may feel cheated, but can I tell you something? If you're saved, you're going to heaven someday.
Amen.
And it's going to be over. It may not be over this side of heaven, but someday it will be. It will come to pass, even though it's come to stay here. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I tell you something? It will never pass. You'll burn forever in a place called hell. If you've been saved, you never have to go there.
Amen.
It's as simple as whosoever will may come. If you've been saved and never baptized, how about you obey the Lord with that? Maybe you ought to join the church. Maybe you need to come to an altar and accept the burden that's come to stay in your life. Maybe you just need to say, God, I'm going to quit being bitter with you over it. Maybe you need to thank God for some eternal things in your life. I don't know the need for everybody. But I know this. For many, you've got a burden that has come to stay. And today, I've showed you from God's word what we ought to do with it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just like that man who received healing, he walked away rejoicing, but there was a multitude that went home hurting. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I don't know for sure, but I'd like to know for sure. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I personally needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores of hands. You may put them down. If you've been saved, never baptized, we could care for it. You've been saved and baptized by immersion, you'd like to join our church, we'd love to have you. Maybe you just need to come. You raised your hand and said, preacher, something's in my life that's here to stay. Well, maybe you need to come to an altar and accept it, get over the bitterness of it. Maybe you just need to do business with God on it.